Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Palm Sunday. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss two Gospels from St. Luke. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Providing emergency assistance for victims of fire or other natural disasters to residents of the 12 counties of the Coastal Bend. Providing help in emergency cases with food, clothing, electric, utilities, rent, bus tokens, and other types of assistance to persons in need regardless of race, gender, or creed, and to prevent homelessness by providing self-sufficiency through financial stability and independence. An array of services are offered to the working poor and those facing homelessness due to loss of wages, employment, disabilities, and/or illness. Their mission is to serve people in need and address the social ills that undermine the dignity of a person. Who does all of this? Catholic Charities. 884-0651.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm well as always, and glad to see you again.
Nice to
and
see you too.
Glad to have all our listeners part of our program. And every once in a while, we receive a very nice letter or card, especially during the campaign, thanking us for the program. And so I just want to thank everyone else for listening and know that many of you are listening, and we are especially grateful for you and hope this is helping your faith as well. I know that some of you who are listening are in difficult situations. A good group of my friends incarcerated in different prisons are listening, and we think of you often and really think of you as we're preparing these programs and hope that they help you in your daily life. People that are not able to maybe go to church, that too. And so all of this is dedicated to you. And then those that are driving to church, I was thinking in my preparation for one of the talks that I was going to give is to, in fact, it was for this one. I was thinking today in the second part as we read the Passion, just to close your eyes and listen. And I thought, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. Just listen.
We want people to get to their destination safely.
Right. But I think today is really almost a meditative reading of these Gospels with some comments. But it's really today is a preparation for the great Triduum, we call the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus. So just to know that we're with you in your difficulties and your joys and your sorrows, that we're all here together in faith to bring us to a closer union with Jesus Christ.
Yes, and for those that are attending Mass, of course, the churches are decorated in red, and you all are in your red vestments, and it's
today, yes.
It's a sad day, but it's a the church is decorated so beautifully. So, as I mentioned in the beginning, we are going to have two Gospels today, both from St. Luke. The first Gospel will be the procession with palms. So, if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His Word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus proceeded on His journey up to Jerusalem. As He drew near to Bethage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and you will enter it, and you will find a colt tethered, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.' So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as He had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' They answered, 'The master has need of it.' So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over it, and helped Him mount the colt. As He rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said in reply, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this gospel is so interesting because, as you say, this is read in the very beginning and we come in with the palms, but as he comes in to Jerusalem, it's like he's a hero, you know, almost a hero worshiping, like we have the parades when, so it's a celebration, and then how quickly things change.
Right, and of course, you know, we have to look at Jesus' whole ministry, you know, from Galilee, where he performed so many miracles, where he taught the Sermon on the Mount, and then so many other things, many encounters with people. His whole life was really a movement toward Jerusalem. His final 3 years was a journey toward Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem there would be peace. In Jerusalem, there would be salvation. And so he is that peace, he is that salvation that God has sent to us as his incarnate word. What I find interesting at the beginning of this gospel, which is really the final journey, and entry into Jerusalem, is just notice the names of the places that he passes. We're familiar with them even from last week on the fifth Sunday of Lent, that Bethage and Bethany, these are the area of friendship with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, where he felt at home, where I think on many occasions he would come just to kind of, I guess you'd say in our terminology, kick his shoes off and just be at home in a very loving environment. And so he passes through there. So on a human plane, this is what strikes me, that Bethage and Bethany are that place of human rest. But he also passes in a place called the Mount of Olives, which we also read last week in the gospel concerning the woman that was stoned, was to be stoned to death because of adultery. Jesus was coming out of or away from spending the night on the Mount of Olives. It's his place of prayer. So his friendship with his father, his time with his father was at the Mount of Olives. So we find him, you know, on this continuous journey down from the Transfiguration, heading toward telling his disciples, "I must go to Jerusalem, and there the Son of Man will suffer and be crucified and put to death." And of course, they wanted to stop that, but Jesus knew that that was his, not only his destiny, but that would be the salvation and the forgiveness of sins in himself, sent by the Father. So there is this constant journey, but he passes through these two spaces, these two places, which to me are, I mean, the more I think about it, just talking about it even now, what a beautiful reality that what was going on inside of him to be with his friends that he had discovered on earth, his peers in that sense, who understood him, who listened to him, who fed him, who comforted him, and then the Mount of Olives, where he had union with his Father, where his intimacy with God was really brought to a high point. And of course, returning there later, asking the Father to take away the suffering that was about to show. But it was his place of prayer and encounter. So to me, that's just very, very significant. And for us, as we continue with life, it's important to have that place with friends, whether it's family, whether it is friends, but not just friends for party, in a party mentality, but friends who, with whom I can share who I am, where I feel at home. And also that special place of prayer, to be in union with the Father. So really, without these two elements, to head toward Jerusalem for the final time, for the final destiny, would be more burdensome than to, because he was not a loner. Jesus did not try to save the world by himself alone and or to face what he had to face alone. He had his disciples, he had his friends, and certainly he had the Father. It's a, you might say, a band of people, and certainly God with them to enter into this. So he sends the disciples ahead of him to take the colt that was tethered, tied up there. And what I also find interesting here is that when the owner of the colt came out and he asked, why are you, why are you untying my colt? This is my colt, our colt. The master has need of it. There's no response to that, probably because this man was perhaps in some ways part of that discipleship, those people that were following Jesus in some way. And so when they say the master, they knew who he was talking about and allowed that to happen. And, of course, the disciples are still probably thinking of the triumphal entry, that they were awaiting that Messiah in a human sense of liberating them from these occupying powers of the Romans, that they prepared for this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace on earth and glory in the highest. Echoing the words also that we say before we enter into the Eucharistic prayer, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We're proclaiming him as the one who is holy and who has come in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. And then we, at the Mass, I'm speaking of the Mass, just at the holy, holy time, it's a remembrance of this. And then we enter into that final journey of up to the to Calvary, which we celebrate in the consecration of the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. It's interesting, the voices of the world, the Pharisees in this sense, say, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Don't let them say these things. But Jesus begins now very boldly to say, I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out. Which, you know, when I see that, I think that this is the plan of God. This is the will of God. This whole movement toward Jerusalem to be crucified and eventually be raised from the dead, even if the human beings keep quiet, the stones will cry out because they are also part of creation, and Jesus has come to liberate us as the plan of the Father. So it's a very moving moment in the life of the church to recount this entry into Jerusalem, and certainly something that has great meaning in our own lives as we approach our own redemption in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the short version of the crucifixion. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
If you or someone you know is suffering from the pain and loneliness of divorce or the death or separation of a spouse, you can get help. A grief support group meets each Monday at 6:30 p.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church Parish Hall on South Alameda. This group will be facilitated by people who've been through it and want to help others who are going through it. To learn to cope with your loss by sharing your experiences and at the same time offering others hope and consolation. There are people who care and want to help. The group is sponsored by the Diocese Office of Family Life. For more details, call John at 361-813-5825. You don't have to go through it alone.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, as I mentioned before the break, you know, we're having the opportunity this morning to listen to two Gospels, both from St. Luke. We had a wonderful conversation about the procession of the palms, and now it's the crucifixion. And, of course, it's the shorter version.
Right. And I'm going to read it in such a way as it's kind of a meditation. So
right.
When we do it, of course, in church, it's more of a proclamation. But I think it'd be good for us today is to just do it as a meditation, to hear what we already know, but to listen to it as our story, because it's the story of our salvation. So those of you who are not driving, please, you may want to close your eyes and just listen as a meditation. The Passion According to Luke. The elders of the people, chief priests and scribes, arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, "We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds, "I find this man not guilty." But they were adamant and said, "He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began even to here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus and had been waiting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in a resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him. Nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him." But altogether they shouted out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate addressed them a third time, "What evil has this man done? I find him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore I shall have him flogged and then release him." With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demands should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt." When all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there is so much here that can be discussed. It's a beautiful passage.
Yes, I most recently, just thinking in prayer and finding ourselves in difficult situations, I know that every day we all go through some kind of difficult moment, whether it's personal or in relation to others or our jobs or our families, questions about ourselves or all sorts of things, the economy, the future of the country, the world, and, is this a safe place to live in? And just these constant big questions that come up, but also the little personal ones that we have. And I just over the last few weeks, talking to people about prayer and things, that final in St. Luke's Gospel, the final words of Jesus, I think, are really the conclusion of every prayer and the conclusion of every concern that we have if we are truly people of faith. And that is, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Those were not words that are just spoken like, "I give up, I can't do anything else." The whole Jesus's whole life, his whole approach, and what he brought to us was, "I've come to do my Father's will." And so we have to look at what he was about. We have to look at what he said, what he did, all the various encounters he had with people. It was all part of the Father's plan for him. So even coming to this crucifixion, to that moment of intense pain and question, because he did question, why have you abandoned me? Still at the end, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And St. John adds at the end, "It is finished," which is a statement of, "I have done what you've asked me to do." I say all that because I think that those words should ring in each of our lives. As we struggle with decisions, as we just struggle with problems, we struggle with family, we struggle with job, the economy, et cetera, all those things, it's not resignation, "I give up." It's, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This is part of your plan for me, for my life, or to be your child. There's that going back to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus speaks, would a father give his son a snake if he asked for bread? That trust that Jesus asks us to have in life, which he himself exemplified throughout his whole life in all situations, now comes to this culminating moment of salvation where he turns it all over to the Father. I have done your will. Into your hands I commend my spirit. That should be our prayer daily in everything. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And that's our salvation.
Yes. Thank you, Bishop. Now, if you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God bless you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Palm Sunday with us. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a wonderful Holy Week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.